Well, I want to tell you a story. Old men have this privilege of telling stories that they've heard down through the years. But this one I haven't told many places. In fact, I haven't told it for a long, long time. But David Collier reminded me of a dear friend of mine that died many years ago. And this story involves him. David mentioned a message that Brother Herman Moore, and Darvin remembered his name, Brother Herman Moore preached at our Bible conference in the early 80s or 70s. The title of the message was, There's a Man in Glory. Anybody here remember that message? David does, Darvin does. There's a man in glory. Herman and I were good friends. And he was getting up in years. And he and his wife were walking through a checkout counter at a grocery store one afternoon. And as the young lady was ringing up the sales, he looked at her and she was crying, big tears rolling down her cheeks. And Herman said to her, is something bothering you or you have a problem? She said, my parents have kicked me out of the house. I've got no place to live. He said, how old are you? She said, 16. He turned to his wife and he said, honey, could we take her into our home and give her a place to live? His wife said, I'd be glad to. So they took that young lady into their home. She finished high school. She went to college. She graduated from college and became a physical therapist. She became fairly wealthy. She had two or three places of business. And Herman died. And this young lady wrote me a letter. I'd never met her. Don't remember her name. But she wrote me a letter back there in the 80s, early 80s. And she said, Brother Herman died and Mrs. Moore is living in Clayton, North Carolina. And I'd like to do something for her. I'd like to send an offering, $500 every quarter from my business to help her out. Would you let me send it to your church and you send it to her? I said, honey, I can be tickled to death to do that. So that went on a long, long time. I said 10 or 15 years. I can't recall all the dates because I haven't thought about it till you brought up that. But that blesses you, doesn't it? That blesses you. It surely does. Herman Moore, a man in glory. And he said this. He said, if there can be one man in glory, there can be another one. All right. Now let's open our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. Brother Barnard said to me one time, he said, now, Brother Mahan, he said, the scriptures are bifocal. I said, what do you mean, bifocal? Well, he said, there's the initial application. You read this verse here, didn't you? These verses in Ezekiel 37. He said, there's the initial application that God will bring the Jews back to their land. And then you've got the gospel here, just as clear and simple and plain as anywhere in the scripture. Everywhere you turn in the scripture, whatever it may deal with, it deals with Christ and Him crucified. That's the reason Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Charles Spurgeon brought a message from this text right here. I know you used to be reading it again. You heard it. Verse 1 through 14 of Ezekiel 37. Spurgeon brought a message in 1865 from this text. And this is what he said. Now, there was no land of Israel then. It was gone. It had been gone since Titus tore the place up. But the Jews had been wandering from place to place all over the world ever since then. But Spurgeon said this in 1865. He said there will one day be a native government in Israel. One day. The state of Israel will one day be incorporated again as a nation. He said that in 1865 there. One day, the state of Israel will be incorporated as a nation. The Jews will one day return to Palestine. Millions of them. One day, they will walk upon the mountains of Israel. One day, they will sit under their own fig trees. And this came to pass in 1948, when Harry Truman pressured all the countries to make Israel a state. And Israel is a state and a mighty state. Even after the terrible Holocaust, where 6 million Jews died, right after that, in the 40s, in 1948, that's when Israel became a nation. And that's what Spurgeon dealt with here. But we're not dealing with that tonight. If you want to, you can write this down. Write down and keep this verse in mind as you study this later. Romans 11, 25 through 29 tell you the same thing. Romans 11, 25 through 29. Israel will be a nation. But here you have, and here's what I'm preaching tonight, the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle of all. The greatest mystery of all. Not that the Jews will return to their nation. Not that God will someday bless them. I'm not dealing with that. But I'm dealing with the greatest mystery of all. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest miracle of all. My Father is omnipotent. And that you can't deny. He's a God of might and miracle. It's written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in place. But when He saved our souls and made us whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Our God is a God of miracles. And let me deal with this now from this standpoint. The fall of man and the substitutionary work of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, look at verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Well, what's happened here? Well, there must have been a terrible battle fought. There must have been a terrible battle fought in this valley. And many, many men were killed. And their bones lay scattered about on the ground. The bones were blanched by the burning sun. The bones were dry as dust. And in the sand. No moisture. No marrow. Oh, one old preacher said even a dog wouldn't have picked one of them up. Those bones that lay in all about that. All about that. And it pictures for us the fall of man. That's our nature. That's us. Dry bones in a dry valley with no moisture and no marrow at all. Martin Luther said, if a man could get a full view of his sin, if he could really understand his helpless state, if he could really understand his terrible lost condition, like these dry, dead bones in that valley, that's what we are. He said if he could get a glimpse of it, he would lose his sanity. Paul put it this way. At that time, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That's what happened to us when Adam fell, plunged us into this state of total, total death and despair. Sitting at my desk one time years ago, and the telephone rang, and I picked it up, and the voice on the phone, a young lady, said, Brother Mahan, she said, would you come to the hospital and visit my husband? I said, what's wrong? She said, well, there's been an accident at the Armco steel mill, and it was an explosion, and he's been hurt. And she said, he's scared. He wants to talk to you about the Lord. Well, I knew the man. His wife attended church, but he's never been interested in hearing about the Lord. He's never come to hear me preach. I said, well, I'll be glad to come. His name's Ed Simpson. So I drove down there, and I walked in, and he was lying there in the bed, and they had a bandage on his head, and she said to me, she said, now, Ed's going to be all right, preacher. Said, he's just really scared right now, but he shook up. And she said, he wants to talk to you. So I walked over by the bed, and I said, Ed, I'm sorry about your accident. And we talked a minute, and he said, preacher said, I want to talk to you about salvation. I said, okay, that's good. I got my Bible out, and I said, now, Ed, let's start where we have to start. Do you know that you're a sinner? God saved sinners. Christ died for sin. Do you know that you're a sinner? And he looked at me and he said, I wouldn't say that. I said, well, what would you say? Well, he said, I haven't always done what I ought to do, and always I never have stolen anything. I never been talking that way, you know. He said, but I'm not a sinner. And he turned and looked at his wife and said, Emma, honey. She said, I reckon not. But I closed my Bible. And I don't try to be a smart aleck. I try not to. I try to tell the truth. But I just said to him, I said, well, Ed, I don't have anything for you. Nothing. The Lord came to seek and to save the lost, and you're not lost. He died for sinners, of whom I'm chief, and you're not a sinner. So really, Ed, I don't have anything for you. But I said this, I'm going to leave, and if you decide you want to come hear me preach and find out you're a sinner, I'll talk to you about the Lord. Man's got to be lost to be found. And that's what we have right here. That's what Ezekiel's saying here. A valley full of dry, dead bones. All right, let's watch the next thing here in Ezekiel 37. Verse 3. And he said to me, the Lord said to Ezekiel, said, son of man, can these bones live? In this condition, these dry, dead, parched, bleached bones. No life, no moisture, nothing. Can they live? Can they live? Can they have blood and breath and bodies and live again? Can they? Well, let me tell you this. That's what this book's all about. That's what this book is written about. This is the message of this book. Those bones can live. This is the reason why our Lord came into the world and died on the cross, that these bones might live. That's the reason God sent His Son to die for sinners, that they might live. And the Lord asked this, can they live? Can they live? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Nope. But God can. Can the leper change his spots? Nope. But God can. Can the fragrance of the rose issue from that pile of bones? No, God can make it smell sweet. Can the cursing tongue praise the Lord? No. But God can make it praise the Lord. Can hate be turned to love? Can pride be turned to humility? Can death be swallowed up in victory and life? Can it? Here's the answer. Listen. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered. And that's the only answer you can give. O Lord, thou knowest. Left up to me, they won't live. Left up to them, they won't live. But you're able to make them all live. You're able. That's what that leper said. When our Lord came down from the mountain, and that leper ran up to him, and he said to him, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. And the Lord said, I will. And he made him whole. That's right. The hymn writer wrote this, God, my Redeemer, lives. He's exalted in the skies. He looks down on my dust, and he bids it rise. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. Well, watch this now. This is the third thing. Verse 4. Can these bones live? Lord, you the only one knows. And he said to me, well, preach to them. The Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones, saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know, I suppose that if I walk into a valley of dry, dead, parched, blanched, white bones, dead bones, and I walk through, the very last thing that I think about doing is preach to them. That's just about the last thing I try. What about you? Preach to them. Preach to them. But my friends, that's God's way. Yes, God's way. Listen to these verses. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen to this verse. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. James said this, of his own will begat he us. What? What with? With what? The word of truth. That's how we're begotten, with the word of truth. Peter said, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. This word is the word of life. Ezekiel stood and looked at those horrible, dry, dead bones. And the Lord said, can they live? He said, Lord, you know. You know. You know. Oh, my. I tell you this, though. Life-giving sermons are sermons filled with God Almighty who gives life. That's right. Life-giving sermons are filled with Christ, who is our life. There's a man in Pikeville, Kentucky. Name was Larry Woods. And Larry had heart trouble. And Larry had a heart attack. And he went to the hospital. And he was seriously ill. And his wife brought a preacher. And the preacher went up there and talked him into a profession of faith. It's not too hard to do. When a guy's got a heart attack and he's dying, you can pretty well talk him into some kind of profession of religion. And this man talked Larry into a profession of faith. Well, it so happened that Larry Woods was in the bed next to a man by the name of Thompson, Ted Thompson. Ted knew Christ. Ted Thompson knew the Lord. Ted Thompson knew the Savior. He knew the gospel. Well, he was laying there listening to a tape with his headphones. And Larry started talking to him about his profession. About he'd been saved. I've been saved, Ted. I've been saved. And Ted took off his earphone, laid it down, and said, tell me how you got saved. So Larry started telling him about how he got saved, how he said he got saved. And Ted said to him, said, now Larry said, I don't want to upset you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But making a profession of faith, not salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. God's the one that saves. And if God saves, you're saved forever. And Larry just quieted down. And Ted said, why don't you listen to this tape that I've been listening to? So we handed him one of our tapes. And he started listening. He got another one. He got another one. Make a long story short, the Lord did save Larry. And Larry came to the Pikeville Zebulon Church under Brother Tom Harding. And he died not too long ago and went to be with the Lord. But it's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. That's feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. Our hope and warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. So I'm going to trust in God's unchanging Word till soul and body sever. The words of men shall pass away. His Word abides forever. I pass by these bones, dry, dead bones, dry, dead sinners, lifeless sinners. And God said, can they live? Can they live? And I said, Lord, I don't. You know. Well, preach to them. Preach to them. Preach to them. Well, that's what he did. Just look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, this is the message that God gave Ezekiel to preach to him. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and bring upon you flesh, and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you, and you live. And you know that I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. What is this message? It's a message of sovereign grace. That's what your pastor preaches. That's what I'm trying to preach. The message of sovereign grace. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. The Lord said, behold, I will give you life. I will cause breath to enter you. You're going to live. Because I'm going to put sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you. I'm going to cover you with skin. I'm going to put breath in you and you live. And you'll know that I'm the Lord. It's not I will. If you will, that's not what the Lord said. It's not an appeal to the bones. Well, bones, do the best you can. Come to Jesus. It's not in the power and persuasion of the preacher. It's the proclamation of what God Almighty will do. I will. What's it? What says? Let's look at this again. Verse 6. I will. I will. I will. And then go down the last line. And you shall. I will. I will. And I guarantee you, you shall. I will. And you shall. I'm full of stories tonight. I think of these things. But there's a young lady in our church named Becky. And she was a beautiful young lady. And she had a lot of boyfriends. And she'd bring them to church. And she'd always bring her boyfriends to church. And then she'd quit going with that one and find another and bring him to church, you know. Well, I'm glad I'd stick like that. I'd love to preach to him. Just bring him to church and I'll preach to him. Well, he got serious, I thought. He got serious about the gospel. So one day he and the young man came to the house and knocked on the door. And I went to the door and she said, I forget his name. Darcy would remember it, but I forget his name. He's gone later. Anyway, she said, my boyfriend wants to talk to you about the gospel. Good. I said, come on in. So we went in and sat down and she pulled up a chair and Norris did. And he and I sat on the sofa and I talked to him about about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I gave him the best I could, testimony of how God saves sinners. We sat there and talked a good while. And we prayed. And I closed the conversation. I said, now, you come on to church. Come on and hear the Word. It's the Word that convicts. It's the Word that gives faith. It's the Word that saves. And so you keep on listening. But he said, how will I know when I'm saved? I'm not smart, but I do know how to answer that question. I said to him, how did you know you were lost? Well, he said, God showed me I was lost. Well, I said, God will have to show you when you say, I can't do it. That's where we mess up, when we try to give them a hope in something else than the Lord. How'll I know I'm saved? How you know you're lost? God showed me. Well, He'll show you that you're saved. So salvation is of the Lord. Let me show you over here in Ezekiel 36. Look across the page. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 24. This is what the Lord says about salvation. I will take you, verse 24, I will take you from among the heathen. I'll gather you out of the countries. I'll bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. You shall be clean from your filthiness, from your idols will I cleanse you. Watch out. Watch now. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit I'll put with. He does it. I put my spirit within you. I take away your stony heart. I give you a heart of flesh. And I put my spirit in you. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God. Salvation's is of the Lord. In all, in His execution, in His application, in His sustaining perfection, in His ultimate glory, it's all of the Lord. All right, now the next four verses, I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this. Here are two situations. Here are two. Now the Lord said, can these bones live? Lord, you know. Well, preach to them. Preach the message of grace. Preach sovereign, redeeming, effectual, particular grace. Preach grace to them. Don't leave it up to them. Preach what I will do. I will do this. So, he said in verse 7. Watch this now. So, I prophesy. I preached as I was commanded. Now, here's two situations. First, you've got preaching without the Spirit. Preaching without the Spirit. Then you've got preaching and the Spirit. What's the difference? So, I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied. And something happened. There was a noise. There was a shaking. There was a stirring. The bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinners and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But there's some problem here now. No breath. No life. There was a noise. There was a shaking. There was a stir. I guess it's about like some of these present day revival meetings. All this activity, but no life. Activity. Hand waving. Noise. All these things. They look like men. They had the form of godliness. You've heard that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They appeared outwardly to be men, but no breath. No breath. Doctrine, as true as it is, doctrine without spirit, as true as it is, will not give life. Only God can give life. Let me show you that in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter, this is Nicodemus. He was a man of the Pharisees. He was a teacher. All these things. It says here in John chapter 3, verse 4. And Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit. Is that word, the Word and the Spirit? Born of the Word and the Spirit? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Looked like men, had the appearance of men, had the activity and all these things, but no life. No life. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. All right, now watch the next verse. And here we have the Word and the breath. The Word and life. I hear it in verse 9. They had no, verse 8 says there's no breath in them. No breath. But then verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. They stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Now look back at John 3, and watch this. John chapter 3, verse 7. Christ said, marvel not, I said to you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. Canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. That's what God's done for us. Preach the Word. Spirit of God came and applied the Word and made the Word to be effectual to our hearts. Gave us faith in Christ, love for Christ. Not just activity, not just noise, not just a stirring, but a heartfelt worship of God Almighty. One of the old timers, I forget who it was, but one of the old timers wrote this. He said, here are five questions for those who would have a saving interest in Christ. Here are five questions for men and women who have a saving interest in Christ. Here they are. Number one, are my desires for Christ, are they sincere? Are they genuine? You can't seek Christ with a divided heart. You can't seek Christ with a dividing heart. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So that is first question. Are my desires sincere? Are they genuine? Secondly, are my desires for Christ, are they honoring to Him? Now God's holy. God's just. God's righteous. And I cannot expect to be saved at the expense of His character. God must be holy, must be just and justified. Must be. I cannot be saved at the expense of His character. So are my desires for Christ, do they bring Him glory? Do they give Him glory? Thirdly, are my desires for Christ, are they permanent? Or is it just an emotion? Is it just a passing fancy? Is it just something that I thought about right now and I'll forget later on? Are my desires for Christ permanent? Jacob's were. He held on to Christ and he said, I won't let you go till you bless me. I'm here to stay and I won't let you go till you bless me. Fourthly, do my desires for Christ lead me to seek Him where He's found? And that's what I've been working on here from Ezekiel 37. Preach to Him. Preach to Him. preach to him. So I preached to him. And God Almighty made the word effectual. Nobody's going to be saved without the word, the gospel. It's got to be preached. And my desires for Christ, they must lead me to seek him where he's found, in his word. In his word. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And fifthly, will my desires for Christ know no rest until I can cease from my own labors and find my rest in him? That's it, isn't it? It's cease from my labors and striving and find my rest in him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and you'll find rest. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And then you learn, keep learning from the word of me, and you'll find more rest. More rest. More rest. Charles Spurgeon was one of the great preachers. An amazing thing about him, he learned his gospel early in life, and he stayed with that gospel till he died at 58 years of age, never departing from that gospel. And he wrote this poem when he was 16 years old. That's when God saved him, I think by 16. But he wrote this poem. And this is what we're talking about here in these five questions that this man asked. This is what Spurgeon said. What the hand is to the lute, what breath is to the flute, what fragrance is to the smell, what the spring is to the well, that's Jesus Christ to me. What the mother is to the child, what the guide in pathless wild, what is all to trouble wave, what is ransom to the slave, what is water to the sea, that's Jesus Christ to me. That's salvation. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much that you have crossed our paths and taught us from your word. Thank you for faithful preachers that have preached to us your word. Thank you, Lord, for blessing it to our hearts and giving us a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, a love for your truth, and a love for one another. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and blessings upon this congregation. Thank you for these dear, dear friends who've been so faithful and loyal all these years, stood by the word, stood by the pastor, stood in Christ and for Christ. We thank you, Father. Ask your blessings to continue upon this congregation and this dear pastor. Lord, we pray that you take the message tonight and make it effectual to every heart. Give us above all things, faith in, a love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.